Our salvation in Christ Jesus guards our minds. It guards what we think. To know that we are saved, to know what God did for us, to understand fully the depth and the breadth of God's love and grace in the moment of Christ on the cross, carrying our sins to the cross so that we don't have to suffer eternal damnation. That is our salvation. And once we fully understand that, it guards our minds so that we will not be led astray. Well, as Tom said in my introduction, I am pleased always to be here at the camp meeting. I grew up in Pittman, and I never really knew that this was here. I grew up in the Pittman Methodist Church and didn't know that this was here. I knew that the auditorium was here. I knew that the tabernacle was here. But I didn't know that the camp meeting was here. I never understood the history of the borough, how we rose from this camp meeting, which started in 1871, how we came together to hear the Word of God preached here in this remote location, as it was, 150 years now ago. I never knew about Reverend Charles Pittman, who the camp meeting was named after. Charles Pittman was an evangelistic preacher, very powerful preacher. I read stories about the man where he would actually back a horse cart into the doorway of the church, and then he would stand on the horse cart and preach to 3,000, maybe 4,000 people. You know, what a day that would have been to see. And also, as Tom mentioned, I do feel privileged to be standing here where great preachers of the past have stood. I think about Billy Sunday a lot. Billy Sunday was an evangelistic preacher who was very animated. Tom was asking me today, you know, well, what did they do before microphones? And I said, well, they just talked real loud, you know. I don't think Billy Sunday ever really needed a microphone, probably. He could probably preach and people in Glassboro could hear him, you know. I've come to Christ, and I've come to Christ in, I would say, really recent times, according to my history. 9 years is just a blip on God's radar, and certainly He waited for me what I thought was an insurmountable time. He waited 38 years for me to come to Him, and yet when I came, He was there, and He was. It was like I'd never been gone. You know, that's what I love about God, is that His grace, His mercy is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So I want to talk tonight about, this text from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 20. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. It deals with the full armor of God. I'm sure you've heard it before. At my two churches in Salem County, I'm currently doing a sermon series on Romans. I promised them this morning that they would not hear the same sermon if they showed up tonight. Two of my congregation have shown up, so I'm on the hook for a new sermon. So, I'm not going to preach what I preached this morning. This is Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 20, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a rather important list, this armor of God. There are six pieces, actually five pieces of armor and one offensive weapon, but we consider the six pieces of the full armor of God, what Paul says is the whole armor of God. And I just recited them for you, so you could probably recite them back to me. But I wanted to know how many people here can recite all 10 of the Ten Commandments, for example. Okay, well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, Mary Lou can... you'll probably raise your hand a couple of times here, but who can name all the nine fruits of the Spirit? The nine fruits of the Spirit. Who can name then what I just read, the six pieces of armor of God? Well, let's play this game then. See if you can finish this phrase for me. You deserve a break today. Very good. And that's the slogan of McDonald's. Very good. Okay. How about this one? You can finish this. Just call it right out. Melts in your mouth? Not in your hands. And that's M&M's, right. Okay. How about, this is from a while ago. How about reach out and touch someone? That is? Anybody remember? AT&T. Okay. Now how about let your fingers do the walking, right? And that's for the Yellow Pages, right? Here's one. I'll give you the I'll give you the product. Brill cream. Little dab will do you. All right. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. See, you know all those. We remember all those things. Why is it so easy for us to remember the ad slogans and yet forget the important things? You know, it was a few years ago that, well, it was actually in 2007, 2008. It was the very first time that I read the Bible from cover to cover. I was, 38 years old, and it was eye-opening to me. The fact that I had never read the Bible before in its entirety, and yet I was so ready to dispute it at every opportunity. I was so ready to deny it. I was so ready to say, no, that's not true. What about all the contradictions in the Bible? Why? How do you explain those? Well, I hadn't even read the Bible. How could I explain them? You know, I tell you what. When I've read the Bible from cover to cover, and I've read it a few times now, there really aren't any contradictions. There really aren't. When you read it and you read things in context, the things that people sometimes call contradictions are not. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for the attacks of the evil one. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are in a spiritual war. We have been since the very beginning, since the very first couple of pages in the Bible, since chapter 3 of Genesis, the human race has been in a spiritual battle over our very souls, over our very souls. The serpent wanted to deceive Adam and Eve to draw them away from God. God, in his love, God in His mercy, God in His grace. At that moment, when the first sin was committed, made a way for us to be reconciled to Him. He had a plan. He said to the serpent, He said, I shall place enmity between you and the woman, and her offspring, or her seed, and your offspring. He said, He, speaking of the coming Messiah, He will crush your head and you will strike at His heel. And so, in that moment of first sin, of original sin, God had already decided that He was going to reconcile the human race to Him through His own Son, Jesus Christ. And the first time I really realized that, the first time I really understood that, I fell to my knees. I was in a place much like this. I was in a place called South Seaville Camp. And their tabernacle is slightly larger than this one. But much like ours, we had this altar in the front. And I was on my knees with people praying over me, giving my life to Christ. And that was, that would have been 9 years ago this coming October. It's amazing to me what God calls us to do. But when I'm talking about spiritual warfare, I'm talking about that very weekend, for example. It was called the Walk to Emmaus, and there are some of you here who I know all about the Walk to Emmaus. Matter of fact, Larry and his wife sponsored me to go to this Walk to Emmaus. And I went not knowing what to expect, but I was told going into it that things would happen, that events would occur that might cause me to not want to go, or might make me think that I cannot go. And I thought, that's crazy. I can't imagine what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about, these events that you're talking about. But sure enough, little things happened, little nattering things, like one of my tires blew out. There was a bill that came due that I didn't know about, and I didn't have any money. And all these things started coming up. And right leading up to the weekend, it just seemed like the cards were against me. Like I wasn't going to be able to go. But I did. I did go. And afterwards, it's amazing how those things stopped happening. It's not that being a faithful follower of Christ will make your life good. Let me stress that right now. Let me tell you right now that anybody who promises you that if you follow Jesus Christ, that your life is going to be all peaches and cream and roses and nothing bad will ever happen to you, that is a lie. Because again, we are in a spiritual battle. And the evil one does not want us to give our lives to Christ. And if we do give our lives to Christ, he wants us to take our lives back. He just wants to take us away from God. So, Paul writes about this full armor of God. And he's talking about these very things. He says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We're in a spiritual battle, and we don't need physical armor for a spiritual battle. We could put on all the protection we want, but if it's not spiritual protection, it's not going to help us any. Because we're not in a physical battle, says Paul. We are in a spiritual battle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we need to take up the armor of God. And what is the armor of God? I'm actually going to do these a little bit out of order because he starts with the belt of truth. But I'm going to start with the breastplate of righteousness. He says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Think about what a breastplate is. Understand that Paul's audience, they were under the Roman authority. And they would understand what a Roman soldier's armor looks like. The standard issue, as it were, of a Roman soldier. So the Roman soldier has a breastplate. What does the breastplate guard? It guards your heart. The breastplate guards your heart. Righteousness. Righteousness is our breastplate. Righteousness is what guards our heart. Righteousness is what keeps us from straying from the love of God. If we can allow the righteousness of Christ to be imparted upon us, it guards our heart so that our heart cannot be bent away from the things of God and towards the things of the world. And so we put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Job 29, he said, "I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." And in Psalm 15, we read, "He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." To guard our heart. In order to guard our heart against the things of the world, because the things of the world are enticing. They're very enticing to our eyes. They're very enticing to our taste. They're very enticing to our ears. But ultimately they lead us astray. In order to guard our heart against those things, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God that comes through Jesus Christ. So the breastplate of righteousness guards our heart. The next thing he says in the next verse is he says, "As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." So he's talking about shoes. The Roman soldier would have shoes which were little more than just bits of leather that were strapped to their feet. But it guarded their feet against two things. Number one, it guarded their feet against stones that would cut their feet when they marched. The Roman army could march in a unit up to 60 miles a day. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't go 60 miles a day unless I'm in a car. And even then, it's a stretch. But 60 miles on foot, and this is not just one person trucking along. This is an entire unit of Roman soldiers. They could travel 60 miles in a day. They had shoes on their feet, which kept their feet from getting hurt on these long marches. But the other thing that these shoes protected them from was when they were in battle and in close quarters from somebody stomping on their foot to hurt them that way. And distract them so that they could be killed. So it protects your feet from the top and it protects your feet from the bottom. What Paul says is that the shoes that protect your feet everywhere that you go are the shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We read in Isaiah 52:7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So the shoes of the gospel of peace, they guard our feet wherever they carry us. So we have the breastplate of righteousness that guards our heart, the shoes of the gospel of peace that guard our feet wherever they carry us. The next thing that Paul says is, in all circumstances, he says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, what does a helmet protect? A helmet protects your head. In other words, our salvation in Christ Jesus, guards our minds. It guards what we think. To know that we are saved, To know what God did for us. To understand fully the depth and the breadth of God's love and grace in the moment of Christ on the cross, carrying our sins to the cross, so that we don't have to suffer eternal damnation. That is our salvation. And once we fully understand that, it guards our minds so that we will not be led astray, so that we can't be turned from thoughts and ideas that come from God, so that thoughts don't come into our mind that are not of God. In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, part of his prayer was this. He said, "And now arise, O Lord God, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant." When we keep in mind God's salvation for us, then there is nothing that we think can't be done. Sometimes our minds get in the way. Sometimes our human limitations will look at something and say, "That's impossible." Well, sure, it might be impossible for you and me. But with God, all things are possible. That's what the angel Gabriel said to Mary when she said, "How could this possibly be? How could I be the mother of the Son of God when I have not even known a man?" And Gabriel said to her, "With God, all things are possible." So when we have the helmet of our salvation upon our head, guarding our thoughts, guarding our minds, then nothing seems impossible for us anymore. And we go ahead in faith and knowing that God goes before us, understanding that if God would send His Son to the cross for us, for our sakes, then there is nothing that He wouldn't do. In Psalm 78, we read, "Therefore, when the Lord heard, He was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust His saving power." We must believe in God's saving power. That way, when things look insurmountable and when we think that we can't do something, we know in our heads that we can, because God goes with us.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.